you're not standing, stand with me all over the room. Some of you need to understand something. I say this constantly, but I need some people in here to remember that the power of life and death lies in the tongue. And there's nothing no demon can say to you. There's nothing no witch can put on you. At the roar from the Holy Ghost that he's put inside of you. It's about time the church understands its authority. It's about time you and I understand what we got inside of us. Some of you are pausing on your worship. Some of you wait on your worship. Some of you say, I'll let somebody else do it for me. I'll let somebody else shout for me. I'll let somebody else yell. I'll let somebody else praise for me. Can't nobody do for you what you can do for you. God's done for you all you need. And you need to call on his name and access him with your tongue. I'm going to read from this morning. I'm going to start in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. I'm going to go to Revelation verse 19. This is not intended to be an end times message. But a lot of times we fail to understand what we can accomplish because we keep thinking about where we are now, as opposed to understanding that the book's already been written. The answer is yes and amen. The answer is salvation. The answer is victory. And so we're going to finish up the armor of God today. I'm going to read for you verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 6. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Somebody say sword of the Spirit. Which is the word of God. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19. We're going to start in verse 11. We're going to read from verse 11 to 16. And then good for good measure to punch all the demons that decided to make their way in here right in the mouth. We're going to read verse 21. And I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire. And on his head are many crowns. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's go to verse 21. And the rest were killed with the sword, which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. I'm going to read that again. And the rest were killed with the sword which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And the rest were killed. And and the rest were killed with the sword which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Father, make it easy to preach. Let my words be your words, my thoughts be your thoughts. Let what comes out today of your word edify your church. Pierce the hearts and minds of each of us, God. We love you. We worship you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I don't know if we dismissed the kids yet or not, but they are dismissed to go back to the kids' church if you want to go. Anybody that's left, I don't know. Did they take them already? Okay. Okay. Woo! Y'all keep up your roar this whole time. I've enjoyed preaching on the armor. I've loved it. It's been a very amazing time of study for me, amazing time of preparation for me. I have thoroughly enjoyed every piece of armor and teaching and preaching about the unseen realm. I think we need to understand and be reminded that the armor is not for the physical realm. Y'all know that, right? It's not for the physical realm. It's for the unseen spiritual realm. Can we go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12? Let's go back to verse 12. I'm going to read it real fast. For our struggle, not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's the stuff you and I don't see is what the armor is for. Right? We can fight against stuff that's in our view. But everything that's in our view physically that manifests itself is a physical manifestation of what happens in the spiritual world. Right? You and I are human beings because we are a physical manifestation of what God did when he spoke us into existence. He was a spirit being. He is a spirit being. We are flesh. We are a physical manifestation of something that happened first in the spiritual, invisible world to us and our eyes, our natural eyes, right? Because the word went forth from the spirit, manifested itself in the physical. And so when we talk about the armor of God, there's been a couple principles that we've been making sure that I make sure every single week to remind you guys of. Putting on the armor of God is a choice, right? It's a choice. The armor does not belong to you, it belongs to God. The armor of God means it belongs to him. Something that belongs to him, but yet he purchased it so that you and I would have the ability to put it on each and every day. So it's a choice that you and I have that we have to make on a daily basis. Laura and I were talking about a verse of scripture this week. You know, many of us quote it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? Or a spirit of timidity, the way that you read the word, depending on what version. But a spirit of power, spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. Now, when fear comes your way or timidity comes your way, when there's a spirit that comes at you that does not align with the Holy Spirit, it is not a spirit that God has given to you. Yet for some reason, you and I make a decision like there's two plates that are being brought out to us. And fear looks more like what we're in the mood for, because what we're looking at is scaring us. Depression is what we accept and agree with because it's staring us in the face. I don't know about y'all, but Laura and I went on a trip this past week. We weren't here last week because, y'all, I took Laura on a birthday trip. She deserved it. Took her on a birthday trip. She works hard. I wanted to make sure to surprise her, take her on a trip. I didn't book it, though, until I talked to her about it. I've been through something like that before. It don't work in our marriage, okay? I talked to her about the plan that I have, and I asked her, are you good with it? Don't surprise her with nothing, y'all. She don't like surprises. So, but I took her on a trip. We went on a Disney cruise. It was amazing.
And they would bring out an option. They'd bring you a menu. Well, on cruises, you can order as many meals or plates as you'd like, right? Well, he brought me the menu one day, and I remember I was looking at it, and I was like, I want the ice cream for my entree. And I want the lava cake for my dessert. And he looked at me, and I was like, yes, sir, I do want that. I do want that, please. You got a milkshake? I'll take that too. No. But oftentimes what happens when we're faced with decisions, there's plates that are brought before us or menus that are brought before us. When it's free, I've already paid for it. I'm like, can I get the fettuccine and the fried chicken? You know what I mean? Anybody them in there? So when it comes out, I'm like, yeah, I want that. But you know what I never ordered? I never ordered a salad. Because I don't like salads. Salads are for rabbits. They ain't for me. So here I am with these decisions in front of me. And we have these in the physical world, but we also have them in the spiritual world. Right? Satan is not the one that's always presenting these things to us, but his demons, the rulers, the principalities, sometimes the little minion demons, they're coming out and they try to give you an option right in front of you. Sometimes it's not an option, it's a full-blown attack at you. But for some reason, so oftentimes, because it's the thing that we can see, or it's right in front of us, or it's overwhelming to us, we fail to make the decision to accept what God has already given to us. And we choose to accept the things that we shouldn't accept. We come into agreement with depression, anxiety, fear, cancer, diabetes, arthritis, osteoporosis. Am I getting all of them? We come into agreement with the pain. We make a decision that this is what I'm going to accept because this is what it is, right? It's just reality. No, it's a reality because you've accepted the reality and have not fought back in the spiritual. The problem is we make these decisions most of the time because we don't know how to utilize the weapons that are at our disposal. We don't understand what power we have. We don't understand what authority we have. We don't understand what we have on our side. And so I want to walk through this text today because it's important that you understand you've got to make a decision to put this armor on. Part of that armor is the sword. It's the weapon. Now, I'm really excited because in Ephesians chapter 6, there's the way that the Greek spells it out and then the way that the Greek spells this out is really cool because it's like rhema in the Greek in Ephesians chapter 6 for word, and then it's like and then it's like it's logos in Revelation, and then it talks about like a short dagger in Ephesians for like the sword, like a smaller dagger, but then over here it's like it's talking about like a big old long sword, and I'm really excited to like tie it all up in a bow, try to wrap it up, give it to you. Let's open it up like it's Christmas morning and walk out of here with something in your hand that you know how to use so that when the attacks come your way, you got multiple weapons at your disposal. And more than anything, you know how to use what God's already given to you. Y'all excited? Come on, let's get into it. All right. Verse 11, I need to make sure you understand there are four principles here. As I walk through this text, there's four principles here because a lot of times what we don't understand is we don't actually understand the weapon that we're holding, right? A lot of times people can hold a weapon but not know how to use a weapon. And a lot of times people can look at a weapon and they don't know what that weapon does. You and I need to understand what the sword of the Spirit can do in the spiritual realm because that's where we need it. You don't need no sword here. I didn't bring no sword up here today. You don't need it in the physical. Plus, Laura told me I'd cut somebody, so I'm just kidding. She didn't have to tell me that. I probably would. Anyways. But they're weapons These are weapons. This sword is a weapon in the spiritual realm. You need to understand what this sword can do. You need to understand the properties of it. You need to understand the usage for it. Because if you understand those things, when you begin to feel, see, sense, know that an attack is coming your way, you can use this sword properly and effectively. Okay, so we're gonna walk through it. Verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called faithful and true. Here's the first thing you need to understand. Remember in John chapter 1, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. I'll say the whole thing. Jesus is the Word, okay? Now, that direct translation is logos in both John 1 and Revelation, okay? It is the written Word of God. It is the Word in written form becoming flesh, the thing that you and I can see, okay? That we can understand more of. So, if we know that the Word is Jesus, the very first thing it tells us is that he, the Word, Jesus, who sat on it, is called faithful and true. What that lets me know is that everything that is not faithful or true is not lining up with him. Which means that the Word, the written Word of God, every time you open it up, you can take it to the bank that what you are reading is true. Because if truth is what it is, that helps you understand the attacks of the enemy. Every single enemy. I love that. Oh my God, I got a sword. I am about to, there's going to be a hole in the stage by the time we're done. Next project, stage redesign. I need more room anyways. I've told y'all that. I can't do this. So, that's going to hit me. Put it down, James. If what we know about God, the very first thing is faithful and true, that means that two things we can understand about the spiritual realm. Anytime a demonic spirit comes for you, it's temporary. Because they ain't gonna stick around. They ain't faithful. They come to steal, kill, destroy. They come in for a season, for a moment, to try to hit you with something that is not gonna stick around. That's why you better watch who you marry. The second side of things is faithful and true. Which means that everything the enemy comes at you with is a lie. Let every man be, let the word of God be true and every man a liar. I mean, the demons is even worse than man. Because all they do is evil. Disguising themselves as angels of light, but they... We're going to get some Bible in today. This is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. We're going to teach some Bible. Every single time an enemy comes at you, every single time you're attacked with depression or anxiety or nervousness or fear or worry or doubt, every time you're attacked with sickness, yeah, I said that. Every time. It's a lie. Because God has not given you a spirit of. Come on. Y'all need to understand, when any type of spirit comes to you that is not holy, when any type of spirit comes to you that does not line up with the fruit of the Spirit, if it don't bear fruit of the Holy Spirit, you are messing with a spirit that is not holy and it is not true. It is a lie. And every time that we listen to that lie and accept that lie, We're coming into agreement with something that God never intended for us to come into agreement with. It is not true. It's a lie. So you can always look at the Word of God and you can say, oh my goodness, wait a second. Yeah, I hear you, but I raise you a Savior. Go all in, baby. Because every time that we know we come under attack, we can bank on something that the Word of God is true. He's never started something he doesn't finish. His word has never gone out and returned void. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one. Come on. He is true. Every attack you would face is a lie. And here's the bottom line. It's watered down. We're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to talk about some stuff. But when you use the word, lies cannot win. Lies can't win. Every single thing that does not line up with the word is a lie. Somebody say truth wins. All right, let's go on to verse 12. I'm trying to stay calm, y'all. I say, calm, I got to teach today. All right, verse 12. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now, let's go back to verse 12. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns. Now, there's a couple things in verse 12 and 13. The very first thing we need to remember, the word is what? Y'all listening at all? True. The word is true, okay? Second thing, his eyes are a flame of fire and on his head are many crowns. Crowns belong to kings. Now, in America, it's hard for us sometimes to get an understanding of what a crown really means. See, crowns belong to kings. In America, we have a constitutional republic, not a democracy. Know your stuff. Constitutional republic. We're like, we don't like him. We'll vote him out in 4 years. Now we don't like him. Can't do that with a king on the throne. When a king gives an order, it's final. When a king says something, it is what it is. Ain't no take backs. When he seals it like he did in the Old Testament when kings would seal it, it means it's judgment and it's done. When Jesus is being described here as a king who wears many crowns, or the direct translation, diadems, he's wearing the crowns, all the crowns, because he's got authority over all the kings. Which means that he's got kings, he's got rulership over the kings of the earth, as well as the kings over the kingdoms of darkness. If you're the king of all kings, there ain't nobody above you. So when you say something, it holds authority. Every time you open the Bible, it's authoritative. It's true, and it holds all authority. So you know when you're coming up against an enemy, when you're coming up against a spirit of depression, a spirit of fear, a spirit of worry, a spirit of anxiety, a spirit of sickness of some sort, you know you have all authority to speak to that thing. Because Jesus said, I'm granting you authority to go out, to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast the demons out. That's the type of authority that you and I were granted by Jesus when he came down from heaven off of his throne, came and died for my sins and your sins. He got the keys to death, hell, and the grave, brought him back up, ascended and seated next to the right hand of the Father. He's sitting there because he's seated down with all authority. And that authority is the authority that's written right here in the Word. It's the authority granted to you and me. It's the authority God has placed inside of us. If you understand that, if you know what you can say has authority, if it's the Word of God, you ought to give him some praise. Oh, come on, open up your mouth like you understand the authority that's been placed inside of your belly. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. You got authority in your tongue, and let it out from the inside. He has all authority. He's granted us all authority to rule and to subdue, according to Genesis. The earth means to reign. I'm ready for this place to be Satan's prison again. You and I have to understand the authority we've been granted and given. Through the Word. That's why it's important to know your Bible. How you gonna use it if you don't even know what it says? Many of you come in here on Sunday mornings, maybe Wednesdays, and you open your Bible then. Or you listen to the pastor read it off the screen. That ain't enough. It's not enough. Go home. I don't care if you can't read. That ain't even an excuse. Because they make it audible. Watch this. Watch this. Hold on just a second. I got to show y'all something. It's pretty cool.
19. Songs of victory in heaven. After this, I heard what sounded like a vast crowd in heaven shouting, "Praise the Lord. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. His judgments are true and just."
You ain't got an excuse. Push play. Well, the problem is you ain't even making time to understand the weapon that you got at your disposal. And then you wonder why you keep getting hit with depression, anxiety, worry, fear, and you don't know how to get rid of it because you don't know your word. When you understand your word, you understand the authority, and you can speak to the demons and the spirits like Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4. I hear people playing it now. I love it. Y'all open up your Bible. I didn't know that. Yeah, I know English Standard Version has a verbal, New Living, NIV, plenty of them. King James. But when the word is given, it's judgment. Because when you have authority, judgment is given. That's why Satan kept coming at Jesus. But he came back at him with the word. Even though Satan was coming at him with the word, Jesus came back at him with the word. Because he understood Satan was trying to use the word in a way that wasn't the way it needed to be used. He was twisting. Some of y'all need to be reminded of this. Just because someone can quote Bible. Come on. Come on. Watch out. Come on. Because that takes me to the next thing. We got authority, we got, all right, first thing, we got truth. Second thing, authority. Three of you, great. You're teaching amazing today. Number one, number two, number one, number two, number one, number two, all right. Y'all need to watch who you listen to. You watch who you let touch you. You need to watch who talks to you. Here's a problem. This happens a lot in the Christian world, in the church world. I want to read verse 13, the end of it again. Let me read it real quick. His clothes with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And here's the deal. You know what the enemy's really good at? Giving words. He loves to give words. And here's where a lot of believers have been led differently. And now it's like a whole new age thing, right? People calling in mediums. We know what the Bible says about that. Bible tells us Saul was killed because he called a medium in. Y'all watch who you're talking to. This new age mess is garbage. First of all, it's watered down because it ain't true power. It's a little bit of power, and they use it because the church don't know how to fight back against it. And I'm so tired of hearing about, oh, are you a Scorpio? Are you a Cancer? No, I'm a child of God. Stop with that mess. I don't want to hear about your titles for me. I ain't no Scorpio, Cancer, or nothing. My name is Jamie. I'm a child of God. And I go by the name with which he calls me. Stop messing with that mess. It's a watered down moon crap. Tired of hearing about stars and moons and everything. I want to know about the man who hung them in their places. I get so tired of it. I don't watch them. Laura turns on some TV shows sometimes just for a little bit of comedic relief, and they start talking about this mess. I get so aggravated about it. She looks at me, and I'm like, it's all right. They stupid. They don't know it. Whatever. Demons are really good about coming to godly Christian people, church people, and giving a word of knowledge. Oh, yeah, they love to give out words of knowledge. They love it. They love giving out words of knowledge. Because, see, here's the deal. Here's what happens a lot of times. A lot of times, a believer, baby believer, and I'm not talking about someone who's been a believer for a short period of time. I'm talking about someone who don't read their word, who don't mature, who don't care about getting in church, being discipled, understanding the fullness of who they are and who they are in Christ, and understanding that because they care about getting close to the Father. I'm not talking about time. Older Christians ain't the best Christians all the time. Seasoned Christians. I learn more from kids sometimes than I ever learn. From some adults who are still on milk. And here we are. There's a distinction. The Word of God. Because demons and spirits love to come at you with words of knowledge. Because here's the deal. One time, a spirit will come in, and they'll say, oh, you know, they'll come in and whisper in the ear of a little witch. Yeah, you got them in the churches, too. Y'all ain't wanting me to be really real this morning, are you? You're like, what is this mess? I'm going to tell you what it is. Just because you don't understand that it exists don't mean it don't exist. Don't be ignorant. Paul lies it out. There's all kinds of stuff in the unseen realm that you and I don't mess with because we just rather act like it don't exist. And some of you can't understand why you're dealing with the same old stuff because you want to act ignorant and act like it ain't there because you can't see it. Act foolish if you want to. Deal with the same nonsense. What these people do, these spirits will come in. And they'll give a little word of knowledge. And then a believer, a baby believer, will be like, oh my God, this man at church told me this. And it's true. Well, then everything else he says must be true. Oh my God. Number one, y'all better go home every time I preach and you better read your word and make sure it lines up with the scriptures. Every time. But what'll happen is these words of knowledge will go out, and these little spirits will come around because they've been around a long time. Y'all remember that. They've been around a long time. They'll come and they whisper in the ear, and then these people believe it, and so now they believe everything. And then there's like the next word is like a partial truth, but they're like, ah, some truth in it, and they keep on following them. And then it becomes so blasphemous, lying, everything is so wrong and corrupted that all of a sudden they've been led down a path that is not narrow and straight. So you got to understand that you need to make sure that who you are listening to, what you consume through your ears, through your mouth, in every department, through your eyes, you better be careful with it. Now, if it happens, there's a way to combat it. It's called the Word of God. You see, there's all kinds of witchcraft out there. And most of y'all don't even know. Y'all just want to don't pay attention to witchcraft. All that, Jamie, that's just that wizardry stuff. That's just some hocus pocus, whatever, baloney. It's just that, you know, that whole, it's just, you know, come on, Jamie. It's just Harry Potter. It's just an innocent book. Just you quit with that mess. Stop preaching about all that stuff. And some of y'all don't even understand witchcraft. You don't even understand there's white witchcraft, there's green witchcraft, there's black witchcraft. There's Satanism, there's occultism. And most of y'all probably don't even need to get into it, to be honest with you. But what you do need to understand is that when God is on your side, not only is it true, not only does it hold authority, but he holds power. Every time the word is spoken, power goes out. Power. You need power. Because fighting from a weak position is not a good place to be. I mean, am I going to win anytime I do that? Never. Come on. You don't fight from a place of weakness. When you have the authority of God, when you have the word at your disposal, you have the ability to stand firm. Come on at me, bro. You need truth, you need authority, and you need power. Because here's the deal. God always loves to demonstrate his power to bring people to their knees. Why do we need power? We need power because God always utilizes powerful situations to bring people to him in salvation, for salvation, for healing. Whenever you see somebody heal, it's because God wants to demonstrate his power so that when you see, come on, let me ask you something. When you walk into a room, like many people have walked into the room in this room and been healed, 7 people healed of cancer already in this church, come on, in the last year and a half. That's something to be glad about, but it's meant to bring people to their knees to understand that God is a God who you experience.
My God.
And once you experience his power, you don't want to go back to the watered down mess. I don't need none of that other junk because I know that true power comes from the word. I don't need any of that other stuff. Why? Because I got power on my side. You need to fight from a position of power, and you are able to do that if you accept that the word is the weapon. Not your anger, not your zeal, not your hatred of sin. No, 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 no. The word is your weapon. And if you will do that, I want to go to verse 14. This is great. And the armies which are in heaven clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. Now, in verse 11, Jesus is sitting on a white horse. In verse 14, the army of the Lord is sitting on a white horse. Do y'all understand what white horses mean? Back in the day, when they didn't have tanks and helicopters, aeroplanes, when they didn't have the Humvees driving them to their location, what they had were horses. The mode of transportation were horses and chariots. But when the armies would come back on a white horse, what that signified was, we won. We won. We won. And I'm so sick and tired of looking at a church that fights from a place where we act like we gotta try to figure out how to win. When God already said he's on a white horse, baby. He already won. He's already won the battle. He already won the war. There's a writing as a book. At the end of the book, we find out we win. We win. You and I win. It don't matter what comes up against us. When we use the word of God, we win. We ride back on a white horse because there's no sickness that can come against us. There's no demon, no principality, no ruler that can come up against us where we do not win because we serve the word. We serve our King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Yeshua, Jesus Christ. And in him, we have the victory. Come on, if you know that you play, that you are fighting from a place of victory, then you will never act the same. We have victory on our side. He's already riding the white horse. It's done. It's finished. Because the word is true. The word has authority. The word has power. The word is victorious. But I think that some of you and I, we don't really understand truly what the victory that he is that he's talking about. I'm not talking about some little victory. Go ahead, Mom, you can play. I'm not talking about a little victory. About to shout. Some of y'all about to run. Some of y'all about to come down here and experience something in your bodies that you never felt before. Some of you about to experience something in your mind that you've never experienced before. Because in verse 15, there's something amazing that's said here. It says, from his mouth comes a sharp sword. That ain't no dagger, baby. That's a sword that strikes down the nations. If my God can strike down a whole nation with a sword, if my God would, out of his mouth comes a sword that strikes down the nations. And then this one, rules with a rod of iron and treads the winepress. Ooh. That word there is to trample. Mess with my children. Chosen people. Mess with my kids. Mess with them one more time. Put that thing on them. See what I do. I don't deal with people who come after my kids acting like I'm not a God of fierce wrath. Acting like I'm not a God who tramples. Acting like I'm not a God who comes after entire nations who abandon me. No, 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 no. He tramples your enemies. He's not here to simply let them go. He's here to cut the heads off of them. To strike them down. there's some of you in here today. There's some of you in here today that have come in here with something that you've accepted as your own. You've accepted depression. You've accepted worry. You've accepted fear. You have taken on sicknesses in your body. And I come here today to say that the King is in the room to trample on some sicknesses. He's here to trample on some diseases. He's here to trample on some people who walked in here with mental issues. He's here to trample all over your spirits that you brought in. And he's waiting. Will you come and be in the place at my house where I will trample everything you brought in here today? I want you to make your way forward if you need a healing in your body. I want you to make your way forward if you've got depression you've been dealing with. I want you to make your way forward if you want to get rid of anxiety once and for all. If you want to get rid of fear once and for all. If you want to get rid of the mess in God's place. And God is here to take away from you that the enemy has come and shot at you. Right now is the time. Once and for all.
Hey, I'm Pastor Jamie, lead pastor here at Lifegate Church in Dalton, Georgia, and I just want to say thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We hope that whether you're watching this live or you're watching this at a later time, that it brings value to your life. We would love to have you join us in person if you're ever in the Dalton area. We're at 2744 Cleveland Highway in Dalton, Georgia. If you'd like to know more about what's going on or how you could get connected with us here at Lifegate Church, just go to lifegatedalton.com. We would love to get you plugged in some kind of way and let us know if there's any prayers or anything we can do for you. Once again, thanks for joining us today. God bless.